The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Dom Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve.
Yeah, baby. Happy Friday Eve, Crudy. Good to see you. Rich working hard on the board, pulling that sound, taking your calls, screening them ever so slightly at 844-967-2789.
Just a skosh.
Just a tad.
Will you be on the airwaves with your comrades here, Crudy and Rich, tomorrow?
What's tomorrow? Friday? Yeah, I'm here tomorrow. Why? What's tomorrow? Yeah, I'm here tomorrow. Maybe next week. Not so much, but
just because
tomorrow I will be here.
We cannot count on you for a lot of Fridays this month. I just want to be cleared my own schedule. I've been a little off.
Summer's almost over, man. We're already into August. Fridays are so very important, especially the older I get.
Well, happy August. Happy Friday Eve. You'll get there, Dom. Got to work tomorrow, but very few others this month. Dom, I'm working hard next week. I'm going up to Eau Claire on Wednesday, just like I predicted.
No, you did say next week. That was a prediction. You specifically said Thursday because the vice president going to be campaigning and going to Detroit. She got the union vote there, and then she was going to come to Western Wisconsin.
Well, first she goes to Pennsylvania on Tuesday. And she rolls out her vice presidential nominee. Presumably, they'll get the nomination if she rolls him out. And I predicted it would be Josh Shapiro for no other reason than the start point. And I did see someone else put out, like, where all the vice presidential candidates have been announced. Very few of them have been announced in their hometown. That's not a tell, according to someone on the Twitterverse. But I don't care. I think it's a tell. I think it's Josh Shapiro in the Keystone State.
So it's a Philadelphia estimate. I mean, because if statistically speaking, you look at, you know, what's happened over time, that in fact that doesn't happen as often as one would think, then you're probably, maybe it's Big Gretch, man, coming down from Detroit.
Well, that would be the Wednesday spot, the Wednesday evening spot, and that's where I went wrong, Dom. I didn't realize they were going to double up these appearances. But the vice president's basically hitting all the swing states. She's doing the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. That's Raleigh-Durham area. That's where Duke and North Carolina State and North Carolina, the Research Triangle, they actually describe it as such, but she'll appear in Raleigh, I understand. She's also going to Vegas on Saturday. I checked on cheap flights. There are some flights to Vegas, Dom, but we don't have a show on Saturday, so not quite sure what the purpose of me going on Saturday if I didn't have a show to tell to find people.
Well, and if you do go, Crudy, never stay in Vegas longer than 3 nights. It's just a good rule of thumb.
Well, I was there for Super Bowl week, if you'll recall. That was more like 5 because there was a primary, a caucus, and then, the lead up to the Super Bowl, Dom. Had the Packers made it? I would have stayed for like another 3 days.
Circus?
I did not go to the circus. We stayed somewhere very nice. The MGM Grand Signature Towers, Dom.
Must be nice.
Well, when I'm paying for them and my wife's staying, nothing but the best. A little less so when Dom and Crudy are shacking up at the circus.
All right, but so Harris, all over the place. So Pennsylvania Tuesday, and what? And then Detroit Wednesday.
Detroit
and
Wednesday night. Eau Claire early afternoon on Tuesday, or pardon me, Wednesday. And that's when I'll be there. I'll go to Eau Claire. And again, I threw out a couple of venues. Could be a high school gymnasium. I don't want it to be. I want it to be the field house at UW-Eau Claire. Then I seem smarter for trying to, you know, sort of reverse engineer it in advance. But that would accommodate with standing room. They're allowed to put 5,000 in the gymnasium, over 100,000 square feet at UW-Eau Claire. Again, looking for indoor venue sites. And as I pointed out, Tom, the Poplow Center in Eau Claire, not nearly big enough. That's only going to hold about 1,200. So that ain't going to be big enough. Need to get as big as you can get. Because I got to think, Eau Claire, there's going to be a lot of blue golds. And if you got to go to a high school because that's the venue you can get your hands on, do what you got to do. But if I was the campaign, I would start with the field house location. Because you could be talking to a lot of prospective voters on campus, right? Although the kids aren't really back. Not yet. Kids won't be back for a month. So go wherever you want. But I'll be at the field house either on Wednesday or Thursday.
With or without the vice president.
With or without Kamala Harris. No, I'm gonna make sure I'm there on the right day at the appointed time. And just in case, because I did have the one bad event in Studevant, I will be there by the earlier entry deadline instead of waiting. Because if you'll recall, the Biden campaign closed the doors about an hour early. Sorry, event's closed. Moose out front, should have told you. Very disappointing. Very.
If you're on time, you're late, Gertie. So get there early, young man. For the what? The press route, the early sweep. So you make sure you're in the room.
Well, the other problem was with the fly-in, they had shut down the interstate from Mitchell down to Racine. So I got rerouted to the north before I could even turn south. Once Joe got ahead of me with the motorcade, I was Scroogey, dude. Never getting
it
in that.
It was all over.
It was all over but the crying. But Wednesday, I'll be crying tears of exultation, of joy, Dom, because I get to see the vice president, the nominee of the Democratic Party, once again. Get to see her next Wednesday. And we'll do some sort of super special Wednesday broadcast in deference to the VP. It'll be great. Trust me.
It'll be grand.
Have to tune in.
Yes. Yes.
And
greatest
that day,
radio show ever.
That day, we will be joined in the 3 o'clock hour, at least this was the tentative plan, by Charles Franklin, because there will be new Marquette University Law School polling out that Wednesday for the state of Wisconsin. And then Charles is going to join us again next Thursday, Dom, because there's national polling out. Marquette University also doing national polling on the presidential race, one must assume, the big policy issues, etc. So that's going to be a really big Wednesday show now. Can't believe we're already booked that far out. Who
yeah,
knew?
How's today? What are we going to do today?
Today we're going to have a great show, dude. There are so many topics to talk about. I want to talk about another topic from yesterday. Looking back just for a moment.
Yeah.
Trump's appearance at the National Association of Black Journalists. God, was that awful, Dom. And Rich, you know that we have one standard around here for performance. And before we turn our attention to some of the locals here, because, you know, Eric Hudvey's trying to get on this bandwagon, but Trump was outlandish. He was god-awful. He went in front of the black journalist. He insulted journalists. He insulted his opponent, the vice presidential candidate. He insulted a lot of people, Dom. He insulted the intelligence of the American people. There were laughs and groans and people yelling at him in the room. There were boos.
Gasps.
This could have been one of the worst performances in presidential history.
Cody, it was worse than even I thought. We played some of the lowlights of it yesterday, but you know, a lot of the interaction, the interplay between Trump, you know, it goes off on tangents, right? We didn't play a lot of that, man. He was denigrating. He was rude. And again, I got to point out, and it's just the weirdest thing to me. He reached over and grabbed the journalist water. She had a bottle of plastic bottle of water and squeezed the cap real tight and then set it back. What is that? Who does that?
Like, why? Force sealed her water so she wouldn't be able to access the water if she got a little parched.
Yes. Yes. Like a total bully move. I mean, I don't know. Perhaps you didn't see him do it. I don't know. But if you're in that kind of situation and you notice like some former president, sure, but whack job definitely reaches over and out of spite just squeezes and tightens the cap on your water bottle hard, so hopefully you can't open it. What's that all about? How do you not question? Pardon me, sir. What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing, Crudy? It was terrible. It was worse than I thought.
Sure, he didn't put something in her drink, because nope, he does have something of a bad reputation that's been litigated, you know, sexual assaulter and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's been litigated. He's been adjudicated as a sexual assaulter. That's correct. He's a rapist.
Well, Dom, each and every day we come and we do this little show together, and we have certain basic standards we set for ourselves and for the broadcast day.
Very low standards.
Well, it's still a very important standard. And the impression was Donald Trump could not meet it yesterday in his appearance in front of the National Association of Black Journalists. And here is how a conservative rated his appearance after the fact. Rich, play it for the people, please.
What does it mean to turn black? I mean, first of all, it almost sounded like he'd been thinking about this for a long time and he'd rehearsed it in his head and then he finally came out with this new line of attack. But why?
I don't know if I agree with that. Look, I think he deserves some points for showing up at this thing and giving it a go. Where's Kamala Harris today? Not there. But that having been said, he did crap the bed today. The only question is whether he's going to roll around in it or get up and change his sheets.
That's a good question. What do you think?
My advice would be get up and change your sheets and do what your campaign is doing. The campaign knows how to prosecute the case, okay? They're on the air with it to the tune of millions of dollars on her policy record. That's what they should be doing. This is not going to end the way he wants it to end. There's a better way to do this, and they know what to do, but it's on him to do it. It's on him to do it. My strong advice is to perform.
He crapped the bed, Dom.
Dude, never crap the bed. There's only one rule. You can make all sorts of mistakes. Lots of things can happen. You roll with it. You do the best you can with what you got. Never, ever crap the bed.
But he did.
He totally did.
And so many people on the MAGA, the sycophants, the Republicans, they're wallowing in it. They're rolling in it. Never crap the bed. We assure you, this will be better than that standard. Not much better than that, but...
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday Eve to us all. You can always join this political party. Hit us up on the lines. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Donald Trump figuratively crapped the bed yesterday. Although he might have done it literally. I haven't seen any denials from his campaign.
We don't. It might be a nightly occurrence with the man. I'm not judging. We don't know.
But when one goes out in public and speaks or communicates, that's our job in some fashion, one has to set standards for oneself, not to embarrass oneself to the point as one would feel if they, let's say, crap the bed and rolled in it. That's what Trump did, dude. And the craziest part, his running mate, most of the Republicans, they're wallowing in it with them. Here's the latest from J.D. Vance, the very weird co-pilot. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance today defended Donald Trump's false comments about Kamala Harris's racial identity, saying that it was totally reasonable for his ticket mate to describe the vice president as someone who pretends to be somebody different, depending on the off audience she's talking to. Well, that's not what he said. He said she was pretending to be a black woman. That's a little different.
She was Indian and then she turned black. You know, it's just decided to turn black, apparently.
Now, the Ohio senator, that's J.D. Vance, he was being interviewed by the CNN. He was talking about the Black Journalist Convention that Harris, the biracial daughter of an Indian mother and Jamaican father, who both immigrated to the United States, happened to turn black in recent years. That's what Trump said, right? Vance, who is the father of three biracial children, said Trump's comments don't give me pause at all.
No, totally fine.
Look, all he said is that Kamala Harris is a chameleon. That's not what he said. Said Vance, who was at a visit to the U.S.-Mexico border in Cochise County, Arizona. Vance said Harris was raised in Canada. Also, perhaps true in part, a mischaracterization. She lived in Madison, Wisconsin. I've seen pictures of little Kamala Harris in Madison. Anyways, she spent her teenage years in Montreal, Dom, where her mother had moved for work and claimed the vice president used a fake Southern accent earlier this week while campaigning in Atlanta before a largely black crowd in a battleground state. How dare she? How dare she use a fake Southern accent, Dom?
Well, I mean, you know, leave it to the white man to tell the black woman how she must talk.
Didn't this guy change every part of his name over the course of years?
And apparently, if you listen to what his or believe his roommates and folks that knew him when he was younger, changed his mind on pretty much every policy position as well.
And allegedly, but probably did not, but allegedly had sex with couches.
We don't know that he didn't.
She is everything to everybody, according to J.D. Vance, and she pretends to be somebody different depending on which audience she's in front of. Something I should know a lot about. No, he didn't say that. I think it's totally reasonable for the president to call that out. And that's all he did. Well, that's definitely revisionist history, isn't it?
Right.
So, Dom, a spokesperson for the Harris campaign, responded to Vance's remarks by calling him the most unpopular vice presidential nominee in history. And I would say pretty freaking weird in his own regard.
Oh, totally weird.
A statement from them. J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are trafficking in hatred and lies to divide the American people. Because with no positive vision to move our country forward, all they can do is drag us back. Trump ignited a political controversy and potentially endangered his campaign's efforts to make inroads with non-white voters. You think he crapped the bed? With an answer Wednesday to a question at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention about whether he agreed with Republicans on Capitol Hill, who have described Harris as a DEI hire, the acronym for diversity, equity, inclusion, although they use it instead of blurting out the N-word, I think, Dom. She was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I don't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black, so I don't know. Is she Indian or is she black? Yeah, you know, she's a chameleon.
Someone should look into that. And when the DEI question came up, and again, we didn't play this, but Trump was just, what is DEI? You tell me, what does DEI mean? What is DEI? What is DEI? He was very confrontational, but of course Trump is. And listen.
Well, he was speaking to a black woman who he often treats with a special disrespect. Think of the funny Willis. Think of the prosecutor Letitia James in New York. It's almost like black women.
Some of the journalists that would ask him questions. Oh, you know, those are your people. You talk to them. I mean, yes, of course. He's terrible that way. But J.D. Vance trying to, you know, rewrite, this wasn't chameleon, this was racism. Well, let me just address something quickly, and I think it's very weird for J.D. Vance to not acknowledge or recognize. It's called relating to people, and J.D. Vance perhaps doesn't do that. Now, I'm half Sicilian, 25% German, 25% Jewish, right? That's the bloodline, half Italian, Sicilian, right? So when I'm talking to my paisans, right, we talk about the Italian side. When I'm at the JCC, I'm relating to my Jewish friends. You know what I'm saying? And when I talk to my German friends, hey, I got an Uncle Helmet. You know, that's just relating to people, J.D. Vance. That's nothing more than that. So if I reflect on those parts that of me that I have no input on, but I know that's part of my history, part of my heritage, part of my ethnicity, and I talk to other folks about that, relate to them, that's called relating to an audience. You should try it sometimes. Maybe you wouldn't be the worst vice presidential pick in history.
I think he's done an excellent job so far. I think he really highlights everything it's important to know about the Republican Party at this time in history.
Oh, now. You know what? In that regard, it's very representative, Crudy. You're absolutely right.
Just sell your soul. Don't believe your lying eyes. Whatever the Cheeto Messiah says, that's what goes. You know, I mean, it's really, it takes an act of will to be a good MAGA. I couldn't do it now. I don't want to join a cult. Come back with us. We have the Devil's Advocates. You can join our cult. It's not a cult, though. It's voluntary.
It's a political party. The voluntary, all you have to do is volunteer to listen 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday. That's it.
I'm okay with the tithing part as well. But you don't have to spend cash. Just remember, Dom always appreciates loose joints. Come back with us. More Devils. Then again, who doesn't?
Right?
More Devils Advocates could join the party. And we've got some news of Eric Hudvey.
Oh.
Apparently he's been making some bigoted comments on black men, just trying to keep up with the boss, right?
It seems like this has been going on for quite some time.
More Devils Advocates. We've been going on for like 29 minutes, and we'll continue for 2.5 more hours.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. It's going to get hotter and warmer. It's going to be a hot week, Dom. I don't know if you've been watching the weather or the political reports, but it's heating up around here.
It's hot, baby.
Turning up the heat on Donald Trump. He's not performing well since Harris has been announced as the nominee.
Depends on what your standard of performance is, man. That's relative, baby. I'm sure if you ask Donald Trump, I'm sure he thinks he gave it to those black journalists, man. He let them have it.
You know, I was wondering, in my little recesses of my mind, that's where I go to sometimes, I was wondering if perhaps this outrageous moment from Trump was purposeful, because he had lost all of the headlines, right? I mean, Harris is getting all the headlines. Harris has stolen all the momentum. All the talk is about her rising in the polls, her raising money. You know, he's not even been recently convicted of any felonies to put him in the paper, Dom. So he's floundering to gain the attention of the American people. And Donald Trump, and he learned this from Roy Cohn in no small part, always be in the paper, always be on the lips, always own the news cycle, for good or for bad. No such thing as a bad headline in Trump's world. So I am back to thinking, I can't tell you what the campaign staff thought, but I think Donald Trump thought, yeah, this is how I get back on the front page. And sure enough, it's worked. This is the most we've talked about Trump since Harris has been named as the nominee for the Democrats, right? How outrageous he is. It took outrage to catch our attention. How do you think it's going to go be next 97, 98 days, Dom? Is more
and more
polls. More
and more outrageous as time goes on.
That is my prediction as well. Between the narcissism, losing the attention of the American people is the worst thing that could happen to him. Followed shortly thereafter by prison, but, you know, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till, what, next month? September is when he has his sentencing. But for his mind, for the narcissism, I mean, certainly that checks that box, and he doesn't give a damn, right? But it's hard to imagine, you know, electorally, the campaign will be happy about it. Yeah, look, Trump's in the news. Great. Why? He said some really terrible racist, misogynist things again, and let us articulate them. And then he brings the frothing out from all these other Republicans, right? And when the Harris campaign just quietly responds. I mean, now it's time for Trump and the GOP and the megas not to just crap the bet, but to wallow in it, to roll around in it. And that's exactly what they're doing. So congratulations. We're talking about you, but we're talking about you crapping the bed and rolling around in it. I mean, I'm not sure that's something that people are really going to go, yeah, come November, that's my guy.
Yeah, but Trump's got your attention again. You can't look away. Dom, you remember his one black friend, formerly Omarosa Manigault? She was a contestant on The Apprentice, and she got, you know, her star through her association with Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign. But she made an interesting observation.
No, man, I don't watch reality TV, but please continue.
Do you pay attention to politics? Because she was a big part of the 16 campaign. But anyways, she was talking about Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. Remember that book? That was like his big book telling about how great he was. It was, of course, written by someone else, but, you know, mostly followed the Trump experience through his mind, his telling.
You should see me in my mind. It is a glorious sight.
Do you realize in The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump identifies himself as Swedish because he thought it would be advantageous ethnically to cast himself as Swedish. So when he accuses Kamala Harris of what, being Indian and then being black, and then J.D. Vance's sidecar says, oh, no, she's a chameleon. Here's how Omarosa Manigault tells the story on him. I recall in his book, The Art of the Deal, Laura, when Donald Trump identified himself as Swedish, right? Newman said, because he didn't want to acknowledge that his father was German and his mother was Irish, and he thought that that would play better to those who were patronizing his businesses. So can we all question his past of self-identifying his first Swedish, then German, and then Irish, whenever it's convenient? Donald doesn't know the difference between ancestry and race. He doesn't want to know the differences, nor does he understand the nuances of how people self-identify. And so I believe that's disqualifying for him. And she used to be on Team Trump, Dom. Also, additionally, Omarosa Manigault Newman says, when he mispronounces her name, he does it as a slur. He does it intentionally to harm her, to make people see the otherness of Kamala Harris. When he says, oh, at some point she identified as this, and at some point she identified as this, are you going to hold Donald Trump to the fire for identifying himself as Swedish, even though he has no Swedish roots, in his best-selling book, The Art of the Deal?
Wow. Yeah, he's the carnival barker. That's for sure. 844-967-2789. Let's get to some of our fair audience. Happy, happy Friday Eve. Peggy from Brooklyn, Wisconsin, you are up. Welcome, Peggy. What do you got for us?
I don't care what Kamala stands for, as long as she unites everyone, and everyone is so excited that I feel like 50 pounds is lifted off my shoulders. Yeah. This is like, even my daughter, who is 28, who told me she was not going to vote for two old men, she said, Mom, I registered. I'm voting.
Excellent.
And I'm like, thank God. But
voting for Harris, right? You clarified with her which team she's on, Peggy?
I have had several friends of mine call me that are far right people, far right, and they're from northern Wisconsin. And every one of them said, so what exactly kind of has she done? Because I'm thinking of switching. I said, it isn't what she's done. It's what she at least might do. I mean, all we have with Trump is a big bully. And Vance is just like, oh, my gosh.
Well, Peggy.
So thank you very much for lifting us up again.
Well, I wish I could take all the credit, but really most of it goes to the vice president. Most of it.
Well, certainly a lot of it, but that would not have happened had Joe not had the wisdom and foresight to recognize the situation and do the right thing.
Yeah, but in my own little narcissistic world, Dom, that still doesn't lift you or I or the devil's advocates up. That's still not our... It's not our credit to take.
What? Come on, you were calling for him to step down a long time ago, Crudy.
I know, I'm just being humble in this moment. I'll take all the credit.
It doesn't suit you, man. I'm confused. What's happening? 844-967-2789. Humility? What is that? Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, you know, and now this prisoner release, what else, you know? But yeah. Another thing that I think is going to happen since yesterday is the fake blacks for Trump that you see at the rallies holding the signs that he pays probably $1,500, $2,000. I think that price is more like 5,000 now, don't you?
No, but I will say, because I've been at Trump rallies and I've seen the arrival, they're often coming from out of state. Like most recently in Racine, there was a busload of blacks for Trump that came from Chicago. And I'm not suggesting they weren't authentically for Trump, but they weren't from Racine.
Sorry.
Well, and I've seen some of the same cats over and over again. Some of those guys, I mean, they're familiar. You've seen them. They're at every single Trump rally day.
Real quickly, though, could he be confusing the vice president with that gal a few years ago that said she was black, that had something to do with the NAACP?
Rachel Douthout? Oh, they love bringing her up. Oh, I'm sure some righty has thrown that name out there in the last week. I'm
sure
damn near sure I've seen it in writing, Dick.
Oh, yeah. And if you haven't, you certainly will. But I agree with you guys. It's going to get so bad. So bad in the next few weeks. It's going to be incomprehensible.
It's so bad.
So bad. Thanks for the call, Dick. You know, that's just an interesting point you bring up, that Rachel lady who pretended to be black or whatever the case was. I don't remember the details on it, but I think that's generally the story. And she was ostracized for it, man. And she was ridiculed. And she was,
her career over it.
Yeah. And Donald Trump, in his best-selling book, claimed to be something that he wasn't. And I think Omarosa's point. What about that? Is that also not a big deal? Just curious to know. If you're going to have a standard on one side and in one situation, MAGAs, wouldn't you consistently carry that standard across all facets of your philosophies? Oh, that's right. You're hypocrites and you have no shame.
You know, I learned from John Oliver some years ago, Trump is not his family name. It was Drumpf.
Drumpf.
Yeah, they actually changed the name to seem maybe it was Fred. They changed the name to seem less Germanic. They've been hiding from their roots ever since they got here.
I mean, 844-967-2789. We hide from nothing. Bill from Oconomowoc, you're up. Welcome, Bill. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon. Say, a couple of things. First of all, I got to compliment you and your station. You really have the highest form of integrity. There is no double standard in your group, and I appreciate that. With Trump, I got a question for you guys this afternoon. Would you say that now it's fun to play offense while Trump plays defense?
Yeah, against that old weird man, I like it. I like it, Bill.
And a quick question. It seems to me, now we need an investigation, and I'm sure Jim Jordan will head this one up. I don't believe convicted felons are allowed to go to Paris. They're not. They cannot leave the country. Hmm. And we need an investigation. Why does a convicted felon get to go? Because he left the country and he's in Paris, right?
Trump? No.
Yes.
Trump's not in Paris.
No. I thought somebody
cheering for the United States, showing some actual patriotism? Hell to the no, Bill. Trump Force One.
My bad.
The guy probably can't afford the fuel to get across the big pond, Bill. No, I can't imagine. If he's traveling overseas, it's on the American taxpayer's dime. He ain't doing it out of...
I apologize. Have a good one.
Thanks, Bill. Maybe to one of his golf courses in Scotland. Maybe. 844-967-2789. Dom, let's turn it back a little closer to home. Eric Hudvey. He's a candidate. He's out of California, but he claims he's a good old Wisconsinite because he grew up here. He hasn't lived here in a long time, Dom, but he grew up here.
Oh, he rolled out that fine campaign ad, his senatorial inaugural campaign ad, where he says, I'm Eric Hudvey and I'm running for Senate. But he doesn't say what state he's running.
Yeah. Well, our journalist friend, and he is truly one of the finest political journalists in the state, Bruce Murphy from the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Hudvey blasted for bigoted comments on black men. And there's more than a few, Dom. Seems like every time this guy goes on the radio, he says something inarticulately racist. And I have invited Mr. Hudvey on this fine program, and he is not yet taking us up on it. We've talked to his comms director, Ben Vogel. We're familiar with Ben because he used to work at Ron Johnson's office, and he used to place Ron on the show, occasionally. But here's what Murphy, let me just start a few thoughts. Eric Hudvey loves going on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. He describes it as conservative talk radio and offering red meat to the right-wing listeners. That includes comments that may not be as well received by, let's say, other voters and are definitely not sitting well with black officials in Milwaukee. He went on Jay Weber on WISN, where he declared, "A lot of people in the minority communities, particularly young black men, are moving in the conservative direction and no longer want to just live on just getting welfare checks. They want to be part of American entrepreneurial dream." Oh, that was just one of the many appearances on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. And we'll, you know, we'll describe a few more from the reporting of our friend Bruce Murphy at theurbanmilwaukee.com. Dom, this is going to be a damn good show. I feel it. I feel it. Feels good.
Currently, we have one rule on this show. Never, ever crap the bed.
At least you had the good sense to get up and change the sheets, Dom. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio. Still, phone lines are open. You can join us on the political party line at 844-967-2789.
U.S. Senate candidate from Laguna Beach, California, but running in Wisconsin, Eric Hudvey, has got a new campaign ad. And we're going to save a minute at the end of this hour to play it for you, so stick around for that. But Don, back to this Urban Milwaukee piece Bruce Murphy has written about Hudvey and a few of the inarticulate, perhaps racist things he's
that's more accurate.
Said on the conservative media outlets. Back to the body of the piece, Don. Hudvey repeated these kinds of statements on other programs, including Fox News, in April when he said that young black men want to get off welfare. They don't want to be stuck with handouts. Back in 2017, Hudvey went on Vicki McKenna's show and blamed welfare for what happened to the black community in parts of the inner city, you know. In 1960, it was 6% of all black children were born out of wedlock. After welfare, by the time you get into the late 70s and 80s, it was well over 70% of all children born out of wedlock helped destroy those families. His solution, he explained to Tory Lowe on the Truth 101.7 FM in Milwaukee on March 19th, is to turn out a lot of the black community, or to turn a lot of the black community into entrepreneurs with opportunity zones where somebody wants to start an apparel business or whatever, a service business or a barber shop.
How about a bank?
When asked for a reaction to Hudvey's views, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson told Urban Milwaukee the comments seem weirdly out of touch. Just what kind of handouts or welfare does he think black men are receiving? And as Murphy points out, under the old AFDC system of welfare, it was eliminated in 1996 in favor of the TANF program. It is used by states to provide non-welfare services, including educational services, job training, and pregnancy prevention services. As for the idea that welfare increased the percentage of out-of-wedlock births in the black community, research has shown, and here's a quote, Don, from the article, welfare benefits could not have played a major role because benefits rose sharply in the 1960s and then fell in the 70s and 1980s when out-of-wedlock births rose most, as the Brookings Institute noted. The causes are far more complex, and one key factor was the devastating post-1970s decline in manufacturing jobs in the U.S.
Curdy, I'll continue here. Eric Hovde's understanding of black people in America is informed by tropes and stereotypes, said Rep. Gwen Moore, the veteran Democratic congresswoman from Milwaukee, in remarks shared with Urban Milwaukee. He's an unserious candidate and clearly doesn't understand Wisconsin communities. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley called Hovde's comments deeply troubling, adding that his rhetoric is not only harmful, but also rooted in a lack of understanding of the systemic issues our community faces. The challenges black men are overcoming are many, Johnson noted. When economic opportunities are available, people of all racial groups seize those opportunities. This is the best path forward, rather than offering naive and bigoted characterizations. Urban Milwaukee reached out to the Hovde campaign for comments, but have not heard back. Now, Hovde has also made comments about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. On the Vicki McKenna show in April, he declared, quote, they want to get rid of mediocrity in our country. I shudder at the effects that they're doing to our medical schools and passing people, not based upon skill sets and achievement levels, but on other factors. I mean, we're talking about people that will be operating on you. To which Crowley offered this reaction. By dismissing the importance of diversity in professional fields, Hovde demonstrates a narrow and prejudiced perspective that has no place in our society. Milwaukee County values diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are committed to providing opportunities for all residents to thrive and addressing the real challenges our communities face. Hovde's offensive remarks ignore these complexities, undermine our efforts towards genuine equity, and simply don't reflect what DEI actually is. Unlike business leaders across Wisconsin, he just doesn't understand it. Now, it should be noted that Crowley, Johnson, and Moore are all Democrats and support Hovde's opponent, incumbent Democratic Senator, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. For that matter, there's a political tilt to Hovde's view of Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris, who he reduced to a kind of DEI stereotype on the Jay Weber show on July 22nd. Hovde suggested that Harris had advanced in her career through political appointments and, quote, she can't string sentences together. She's become the presidential candidate only because of a Democratic Party that has pushed this identity politics. He charged where get rid of a meritocracy, the Peter principles, you know, depending on whether your gender, your race, whatever is the paramount thing. Now they have to be hoisted on their own petard with that because they have a person who is just not capable of being the president, which is scary. Now, Hovde has often made comments that he intends to campaign hard for support by Black voters. I have spent a lot of time in the Black community, he noted. Look, I'm a Ronald Reagan Republican. I believe in the broad tent. We got to bring everybody over to us. His appearance on the Truth radio station, which calls itself an audio platform that embraces Milwaukee's Black community, is clearly part of that outreach. His comments in other media venues, however, may not help him with this effort. Bruce Murphy over at the Urban Milwaukee.
Well, I don't know if going on the One Black Conservative show, Tory Lowe show, I don't know if that's somehow going to win over the Black community. I think listenership is modest over there, Dom. I would just say that. If you want to reach the greatest audience ever, Mr. Hovde, join us. Just a few tough questions to answer.
Just would a few.
Beat the total crap out of you. But talking about that standard, don't crap the bed. This guy's saying Kamala Harris can't string a couple of sentences together. Sir, I saw you at the Slinger Speedway trying to do the national anthem, trying to do the Pledge of Allegiance, just trying to give a cogent speech. You achieved none of the above, sir. You better look in the mirror before you start calling out someone else as being unqualified. He's like a rich white DEI hire. You know what I'm saying? Nepotism, the best form of DEI ever. Come back, more devils.